From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Mostly cloudy skies this evening, becoming partly cloudy late, lows in the lower 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny in the morning, clouds rolling in the afternoon with a chance of rain, highs tomorrow in the lower 60s. It's 66 degrees in Lawrence, 68 in Topeka, 63 in Abilene, and 64 degrees in Emporia. The time is 6:06.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. Many other frequencies all listed for you online, where we're streaming 24 hours a day at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore, presenting a book signing with Chloe Cooper Jones, author of the memoir Easy Beauty, on April 26th from 6 to 7. More at ravenbookstore.com/events.
Hope you'll stay tuned. Still another 42 minutes or so of All Things Considered yet to come. In our next 30 minutes, we will tell you about the results of a new NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll showing growing distrust of the Supreme Court. We will learn why there's still a lot of demand for tech jobs, particularly in IT. And we will speak with author and self-coined financial hype woman, Berna Anat, about her new book, taking a sort of Hepcat look at financial literacy and more. All of that coming up on KPR. Stay tuned. Following All Things Considered on your KPR One stations, we have classical music with Destiny Ann Mermagan. She says here she has a kiss for you tonight. We don't really know what kind of kiss, but we'll just listen and find out. Some blues, a waltz, and Tchaikovsky's Capriccio Italien topping it all off. It's followed by the jazz scene with David Bassi on your KPR One stations. On KPR Two tonight at 7 o'clock, it's on the media, followed by news from the BBC World Service. Lows in the lower 40s tonight, chance of rain tomorrow afternoon with a high in the lower 60s. It's 66 degrees in Lawrence, 64 in Manhattan, and 63 in Abilene. The time is 6:20. Tune in tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, both KPR 1 and KPR 2. We simulcast Morning Edition tomorrow with Steve Inskeep, A. Martinez, and Tom Parkinson.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Stay tuned. News headlines coming up next. It's 66 degrees in Lawrence and 68 in Topeka. It's 6:30.
And Iranian parents, Peterson grew up in Tulsa, Sweden, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, among other places. She now works to celebrate and champion diversity in schools.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Democratic Governor Laura Kelly today vetoed a tax relief package that creates a flat income tax rate for all Kansans. As Dylan Lyson reports, Republican lawmakers may have the votes to reverse her veto.
The plan would create a 5.15% flat income tax in Kansas and cut up to $570 million of state revenue each year. It also speeds up the elimination of the state's food sales tax and reduces taxes on Social Security. Supporters argue a flat rate is the fairest way to tax income, but Kelly says it would drain the budget and make it harder to pay for state services.
There is no doubt public schools would be the first to take a hit.
Kelly instead proposed a one-time tax rebate up to $900 for married couples. The plan would cost the state $800 million. But Republican leaders in the legislature vow to override Kelly's veto. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has also vetoed new restrictions on food stamps because she says they could take food away from hungry Kansans. Blaise Messa reports.
The bill would require able-bodied Kansans between 50 to 59 years old to take work training programs if they do not work more than 30 hours a week. If they don't do that, they lose access to food assistance. Republicans who supported the change say work requirements are a common-sense way to help people get out of poverty. The governor says the bill is a burden on low-income Kansans. The bill did not pass with a veto-proof majority. Republicans could try to override the veto later this week. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Blaise Mesa in Topeka.
Governor Kelly has also vetoed a bill that would specify in law that parents can pull their children out of school activities they find inappropriate. That bill is a pared-down version of a parent's bill of rights that the governor vetoed last year. The change would have little practical effect. Supporters say it's a way to give parents a bigger role in what happens in classrooms. Opponents see it as a way of shutting off class discussions about race and controversial cultural issues. The bill would need 8 more votes in the House and 4 more in the Senate to override the governor's veto. Partly cloudy skies late tonight with a low in the lower 40s. Partly sunny tomorrow morning, then clouding up in the afternoon with a chance of rain tomorrow. Highs in the lower 60s. The time is 6:35.
From the animal models, that there is a link between maternal immune activation, changes in gene expression in the brain, changes in brain development, and long-lasting changes in behaviors.
Like language delays and difficulty with social interactions. McAllister says the next step is to figure out why this immune activation affects some fetuses, but not others.
We know that most pregnancies are resilient, but we don't know why, and we don't know why some pregnancies are susceptible.
When they do know, she says, it may be possible to keep a mom's infection from harming a fetal brain. John Hamilton, NPR News.
And you're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Leila Fadel. Morning Edition from NPR News makes mornings more bearable.
Scientists at the University of Arizona came face to snout with a satellite picture of what looks like a teddy bear etched on the red planet's surface.
And we always pause for a little joy.
The Puppy Bus is run by a local dog walking and training service called Mo Mountain Mutts.
Join us for the show that never forgets to have fun. All right, I'm done with these puns. Listen every weekday.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m., right here on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, many other frequencies all around the state. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, presenting Roar and Pour Wine Fest, a fundraiser and wine tasting event featuring a silent auction, live music, performers, and more, April 29th. Tickets at topekazoo.org/roarandpour.
We have a little more All Things Considered still to come. We are with you till 7 o'clock. Stay tuned if you're listening on KPR 1 for news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny Ann Remagen, all followed by the jazz scene at 9 o'clock. If you're joining us on KPR 2, stick around for On the Media, followed by news from the BBC World Service. Mostly cloudy skies this evening, becoming partly cloudy in the late night hours, lows overnight in the lower 40s, partly sunny tomorrow morning, then becoming mostly cloudy with a chance of rain tomorrow afternoon, highs in the lower 60s. It's 66 degrees in Lawrence, 68 in Topeka, 64 in Emporia. It's 10 minutes before 7.
From Progressive Insurance, with its Name Your Price tool, a way to see coverage options based on a driver's budget. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. And from the Doris Duke Foundation.
In this season, as the days grow longer, the sun rises earlier, but never as early as the Morning Edition team, here to bring you the news every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock for KPR's presentation Morning Edition. Tomorrow your hosts are Steve Inskeep, A. Martinez, and Tom Parkinson. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. On the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, presenting their annual Dole Lecture, Tuesday evening, April 25th at 7, featuring Senators Trent Lott and Tom Daschle, who were both longtime colleagues of Senator Bob Dole. More at doleinstitute.org.
KPR Spring Membership Drive, the Campaign for Excellence, wrapped up on Friday with almost $311,000 pledged by our listeners. Every dollar pledged is an investment in great music, in-depth news, and entertainment. Thanks to everyone who made a pledge during the drive. If you didn't quite get around to it, never fear. You can still become a member right now online at kansaspublicradio.org. Partly cloudy skies late tonight with lows in the lower 40s. We'll start off partly sunny tomorrow morning, then turning mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain tomorrow afternoon, highs in the lower 60s. It's 66 degrees in Lawrence and 68 in Topeka. The time is 7:01 and the news is next. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The District Attorney of Fulton County, Georgia, will announce charging decisions for her investigation into the 2020 election interference this summer. Sam Greenglass of member station WABE reports Fannie Willis laid out the timeline in a letter to the Fulton County Sheriff, saying the announcement may provide a significant public reaction.
Fulton County prosecutors have been probing efforts by former President Trump and his allies to reverse his election loss in Georgia. D.A. Fannie Willis needs to ask a grand jury to bring any criminal charges. A fresh grand jury will be selected July 11th and serve 2 months. They would hear their first cases on July 17th. Any charges would be announced by September 1st. In the letter to law enforcement, Willis writes that heightened security will be needed in the coming months and says it's incumbent on agencies to prepare. Authorities in New York orchestrated a significant security presence when Trump was arraigned there earlier this month. For NPR News, I'm Sam Greenglass in Atlanta.
A former Minnesota police officer walked out of prison early today, 2 years after killing a black man during a traffic stop. As Matt Sepik of Minnesota Public Radio reports, Kimberly Potter had apparently mistaken her handgun for her taser when she fatally shot Dante Wright.
Kimberly Potter, who's white, fatally shot 20-year-old Dante Wright during a 2021 traffic stop in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center. A jury convicted the 50-year-old former officer of manslaughter. A judge gave her a 2-year sentence, which is well below state guidelines. Minnesota corrections officials said in a statement that they decided to release Potter at 4 a.m. after receiving, quote, intelligence information about threats to Potter and, quote, the potential for violent protests outside the prison. State law required Potter to serve 2/3 of her sentence in prison. She'll serve the last 8 months on supervised release in Wisconsin. For NPR News, I'm Matt Sepik in Minneapolis.
The federal appeals court is handing a victory to Apple in a legal fight over how the tech giant runs its app store. As NPR's Bobby Allen explains, it's a defeat for the maker of hit video game Fortnite, which accused Apple of abusing its power in 2020.
The U.S. Ninth Circuit of Appeals has sided with Apple in a case over how millions of people download apps on iPhones and iPads. In 2020, Epic, the maker of the game Fortnite, accused Apple of violating state and federal antitrust laws by taking a 30% cut of every paid download in the App Store. That fee is a big moneymaker for Apple, and Epic has argued it was an illegal abuse of power. But the Ninth Circuit rejected that idea. As the litigation has been unfolding, Apple has been making changes, including allowing some developers to process purchases outside of Apple's so-called walled garden system. An app developer the change doesn't yet apply to, Epic Games. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
A mixed close on Wall Street today. The Dow was up 66 points. The Nasdaq closed down 35 points. The S&P 500 rose 3 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Walton Family Foundation, working to solve social and environmental problems to improve lives today and benefit future generations. More information at waltonfamilyfoundation.org. We are here for you, Kansas Public Radio, for 70 years.
Stardate, April 24th. The first discovery of the space age was two intense radiation belts that encircle Earth. They're called the Van Allen belts in honor of James Van Allen, the scientist who led the team that found them, and scientists are still learning about them today. The belts contain charged particles that are trapped by Earth's magnetic field. Some of the particles come from the solar wind. Others are created by interactions between cosmic rays and Earth's atmosphere. The inner belt stretches from altitudes of a few hundred to a few thousand miles. The outer belt extends far beyond that. Most of the time, there's a gap of a few thousand miles between them. But a few years ago, a pair of probes, also named for Van Allen, found that the belts are dynamic. They expand, contract, and vibrate in response to storms on the sun. At times, the gap between them can fill in, creating a single superbelt. The inner belt can expand to within just a couple of hundred miles of Earth's surface, and the mixture of particles in the belts can change. Understanding the belts is important for spaceflight. Most satellites generally stay below the belts, but any craft that spends much time in the belts gets zapped with a hefty dose of radiation, enough to fry unprotected systems. So spacecraft operators need to know what to expect from the belts so they can shield their hardware from one of the many hazards of spaceflight. McDonald Observatory offers star parties, tours, and other programs for visitors. Details at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
It's Blue Monday here on KPR. That was the Memphis Blues, a popular rag by Handy and Richard Zimmerman on piano. Hey there, I'm Destiny, and welcome to Evening Classical. I just decided it was Blue Monday for no other reason than I was really cold this weekend. It's a lot colder here in Kansas than it has been. Which somehow led my mind to think about what we're going to listen to next. But I do cheer it up at around 7:18. I will be playing Tchaikovsky's Capriccio Italien. Oh, it's great music. But like I said, right now, guess what I have for you? I have The Snows of Kilimanjaro, The Memory Waltz by Bernard Herrmann. And you might know this composer from his music for Psycho, the Alfred Hitchcock film. He also wrote a lot of other music. Hemingway also wrote about The Snows of Kilimanjaro, a central theme surrounding death. So that's really cheery for a Monday. Perfect after a rag. You know, the mind works in mysterious ways. If there are any psychologists out there, let me know what you think of that one. Why did I come up with this? Really? Because it was cold this weekend and I was thinking of snow and oh, it really needs to stay spring. Okay, well, we're going to listen to this together now that I've given you that very peculiar introduction, but I like to keep you on your toes. Here on KPR, Bernard Herrmann's The Snows of Kilimanjaro, The Memory Waltz with John Macheri and the Hollywood Bowl Pops Orchestra.
Thank you. John Macheri conducting the Hollywood Bowl Pops Orchestra, The Snows of Kilimanjaro, The Memory Waltz by Bernard Herrmann, here on KPR. Those violins play really high at the beginning of that, don't they? I think it was a nice waltz. Very different than a lot of waltzes we hear together. What did you think? Well, guess what? Last week we had that Campaign for Excellence and our Top 70 Countdown KPR Spring Membership Drive. It finished up strong on Friday with almost 311,000 pledged by our listeners in support of KPR. And we just want to say thank you to all of you who made a pledge during the drive. Your support makes this programming possible. And it's never too late to donate. If you didn't get around to it, you still can. You can go to kansaspublicradio.org and give me a shout out. Let them know what your favorite tune of music is, and I will play it for you. And I'd like to thank one of our good supporters, the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. So towards the end of the hour at around 7:35, I will have a kiss for you. What? What did she just say? That's right. You're going to have to guess what I'm talking about, and so you have to keep listening to really find out what I mean. But it's good. I promise it's good. Right now, we are going to take a listen to Tchaikovsky's Capriccio Italian, and it's also good. I think you'll love it. It's joyous. You know, I started out with the blues, and now we've got some joy. So this is Eugene Ormandy conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra here on KPR, Tchaikovsky's Capriccio Italian.
Thank you.
Tchaikovsky's Capriccio Italian here on KPR with Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra. What did you think of that? You can let me know at kansaspublicradio.org or find me directly online at destinyviolin.com. And I just got an idea. Why don't you find something that you don't like and tell me what it is, and then I will be challenged with trying to find a recording of it that I think will change your mind. That sounds fun. Interesting. Okay, what is this kiss I was referring to? Well, it's Stravinsky's fairy kiss, the Divertimento. And of course, Stravinsky wrote quite a bit of music based on ballet, and this is no exception. Here we have a fairy stealing away a baby, and then we jump all the way to the end where, of course, he's marrying his true love. So, let's enjoy this together here on KPR, Stravinsky's The Fairy's Kiss, Divertimento with Fritz Reiner and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed here on KPR Stravinsky's Fairy's Kiss Divertimento with Fritz Reiner and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. I am Destiny. What a delightful way to end our evening together, and I will be back tomorrow night with more great music. Classics Live is up next. See you soon, here on Kansas Public Radio.
Hey, it's Jesse Thorne, the host of Bullseye from NPR, where we always learn something new about even our most famous guests, like Tom Hanks.
When I'm in a car by myself, I use salty language.
Oh my gracious.
I use baseball dugout language.
Join us every week for a lot of culture, a little comedy, and in-depth interviews you won't hear anywhere else on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR. Saturday morning at 11, right here on KPR.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from KU Theater and Dance, presenting Cabaret, the Candor and Ebb musical. Now with more tickets available. Playing April 20th through the 30th in Murphy Hall's Stage 2. Seating is limited and tickets are at KUtheater.com. Celebrating 70 years on the air, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Hello and welcome to KPR's Classics Live. I'm Darrell Brogdon. Today with a concert from Lawrence's Lead Center of Kansas featuring one of the world's finest string quartets, the Tesla, plus concert clarinetist Alexander Fetterstein. Before we hear Mozart's classic clarinet quintet, we'll hear Gerald Finzi's Bagatelles for clarinet plus string quartet. Then two modern pieces by John Corigliano and by University of Missouri composer Carolina Heredia. Here's a member of the Tesla String Quartet now to tell us a few words about the first piece.
The first piece we're playing is by the English composer Gerald Finzi. He wrote these bagatelles originally for clarinet and piano. This very quintessential early 20th century English style that you may be familiar with if you've heard Vaughan Williams or any of the contemporaries, William Walton. Very romantic, very lush, very beautiful. And it's a nice interplay, I think, in this version, the strings and the clarinet. So this is Gerald Finzi's Five Bagatelles.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say a couple words about John Corleano's soliloquy. So a soliloquy is a part in a play, usually, that was quite popular in Shakespeare's time. A good example of this is Hamlet, To Be or Not to Be, where the person kind of speaks maybe to an audience, maybe to himself. And that's the title of John Corleano's work. It's originally from his clarinet concerto, the second movement of his clarinet concerto. And I was fortunate a while ago, I guess almost 20 years now, to play his concerto and work with him preparing for the performance. Later on, unrelated to this performance, he was commissioned to write a clarinet quintet by the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. And he decided to kind of rearrange his second movement of the concerto for this combination and call it soliloquy.
rounding out the first half of today's program, we have another work by a contemporary composer, Argentinian Carolina Heredia. She is currently on faculty at the University of Missouri. We have been fortunate to have collaborated with her on her music on a number of occasions. I think it was in the fall before the pandemic, recorded a string quartet of hers that we're hoping will eventually be released somehow, that also includes dancers and visual elements and all this kind of stuff. She's a very engaging and imaginative and creative composer. She has a number of friends from Venezuela, having grown up in Argentina and made music all over South America. This piece she wrote in 2014 as a response to the political and economic turmoil that Venezuela and its people have been facing over a number of years. Somewhat unfortunately, that is still relevant today, 7 years later, as we still perform this piece. Hopefully one day it will be considered more like Shostakovich, as you know, a window into a particular time when a particular period was, you know, a composer was speaking about their place in a society that they had opinions about that they really wanted to share. But for now, it's still a very powerful and striking work, really meant to express the human connection that she feels with her compatriots and her friends who have perhaps suffered some from what has been going on. And it's a very spectacular piece. I mean, even the things, the clarinet, you'll just be blown away by the type of things. I don't think you've ever heard something quite like this. Thank you.
Thank you. the first piece that these artists ever played together, the Mozart Clarinet Quintet in A Major. The Tesla String Quartet plus clarinetist Alexander Fetterstein found such a chemistry and ease of collaboration during their first performance of this that they decided to record an album together, which we've heard selections from in this Lead Center concert at the University of Kansas. Their album, by the way, is called Joy and Desolation on the Orchid Classics label. Thanks for joining us for this clarinet plus string quartet concert with Alexander Fetterstein and the Tesla Quartet. KPR's recording engineer is Chuck Smith. Cordelia Brown is our Classics Live producer. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
Thanks for joining us for Classics Live here on KPR, where our support for classical music comes mostly from you and from Blue Collar Press. Located in Lawrence, Kansas, Blue Collar Press helps businesses and creatives build their brands through merchandising, from design to production to fulfillment. More information at bluecollarpress.com. And there's more information about supporting classical music on KPR at kansaspublicradio.org. Thank you so much for your support. We are celebrating 70 years on the air, thanks to your support through the years of Kansas Public Radio at the University of Kansas. We're KANU and KANU HD1, serving Lawrence through 91.5 FM, plus KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute, 90.3, all make up KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the warring military factions in Sudan have agreed to a 72-hour truce. He's hoping to build on that, as NPR's Michelle Kalman explains.
Just days after the U.S. evacuated its diplomats from Sudan, Secretary Blinken says he will continue to push for a durable end to the fighting and look for ways to get some diplomats back in eventually.
The Sudanese people are not giving up on their aspirations for a secure, free, and democratic future. Neither will we.
He says he will coordinate with regional and international partners to work toward the, quote, shared goal of a return to civilian government in Sudan. Civilians have been caught in a battle between two rival generals in a conflict that could destabilize the region. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
The former Louisville police officer who fired the bullet that killed Breonna Taylor in 2020 has just landed a new job in law enforcement. Local media outlets report the police force in northern Kentucky recently hired Miles Cosgrove. Morgan Watkins of Louisville Public Media reports Cosgrove was fired 2 years ago.
The Louisville Police Department said Miles Cosgrove didn't properly identify a threat before he fired his gun 16 times that night. He appealed his firing, but a judge recently upheld it. Then the Carroll County Sheriff's Office hired him. Chanel Helm is a lead organizer for Black Lives Matter Louisville. She says typical citizens can't re-enter certain fields if they're fired. But the system works differently for officers like Cosgrove.
When police or anyone in law enforcement do something very heinous, impunity follows them.
Cosgrove never was criminally charged in any cases related to Breonna Taylor's killing. For NPR News, I'm Morgan Watkins in Louisville.
The Supreme Court will allow nearly a dozen lawsuits against fossil fuel companies to move ahead in state courts. NPR's Rebecca Hersher reports the lawsuits are related to climate change.
More than 20 cities, states, counties, and tribes are suing major oil companies, including ExxonMobil and BP, over the effects of climate change. The suits allege that fossil fuel companies are responsible for some of the costs of a hotter planet, because the companies have long known that burning oil and gas causes climate change. The companies have repeatedly argued that the lawsuits cannot be tried in state court because the effects of climate change are national. Now the U.S. Supreme Court says that argument doesn't hold water. The justices are allowing 11 lawsuits in Rhode Island, Maryland, Hawaii, Virginia, Colorado, and California to proceed in state court. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
Longtime CNN host Don Lemon is out at the cable news network a little after 2 months after apologizing to viewers for on-air remarks about Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley. In February, Lemon drew widespread condemnation for saying Haley was past her prime. This is NPR. White House domestic policy advisor Susan Rice has announced she's departing the Biden administration after 2 years on the job. President Biden making the announcement today while also praising Rice's efforts on health care and immigration. Rice previously served as national security advisor and U.S. ambassador to the U.N. under the Obama administration. The move comes as Biden prepares to officially announce his reelection bid. A federal court in Missoula, Montana today heard oral arguments over the use of fire retardant to battle wildfires. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports an environmental group wants to prohibit firefighters from using chemical near waterways.
Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics says the U.S. Forest Service dumps hundreds of thousands of gallons of fire retardant into waterways despite a previous court ruling against the practice. Executive Director Andy Stahl says retardant is a known pollutant that can harm fish and people.
You can certainly dump retardant on the hay field next door to the water. Just keep it out of the water.
The Forest Service declined to comment on the case. The agency recently told Congress fire retardant is an essential firefighting tool and that it plans to obtain a permit within 3 years. A decision in the case is expected before wildfire season. For NPR News, I'm Aaron Bolton in Columbia Falls, Montana.
United Arab Emirates spacecraft that flew within 62 miles of a Martian moon has sent back detailed photos. The spacecraft, called Amal, Arabic for hope, collecting some of the most detailed images yet of Deimos. Scientists say it shows the moon is not an asteroid that became captured in Mars's orbit. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Katina Foundation, supporting the Asylum Seeker Advocacy Project, providing more than 100,000 asylum seekers in the U.S. with community and legal support. Learn more at asylum.news.
Well, here we are in Northeast Kansas, and we are Kansas Public Radio, celebrating 70 years on the air. I'm David Bassey, JS Music Now, from Joe Chambers, and an album that Joe came out with this year. Power to the People is the song. It comes from the Joe Henderson catalog. It's Kansas Public Radio. Derek Reed, On His Way, here at Kansas Public Radio. Power to the People, Right On. That's Joe Chambers covering one from Joe Henderson back in the day. Dance Cobina is the album out on Blue Note Records. And I would say Joe Chambers is really in that master stage of life. He's a vibraphonist, he's an educator, he's a drummer, he's a songwriter, and he has a catalog of music as long as your arm. He has a discography of jazz records back to the 1960s, and he's really at the top of his game these days with these albums that he's come out with, the last two or three for sure. Dance Cobina, Joe Chambers, Power to the People. And now it's Christina and Eric Reed. When I first heard this song, I was just blown away by it. It played, and I was like, oh, I listened to the whole song. That was good. Black, Brown, and Blue is the title of the album on Smoke Sessions Records for LA-based pianist Eric Reed. It's Kansas Public Radio, celebrating 70 years.